Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, Vladimir Putin has suggested that an interim government should be appointed in Ukraine, overseen by the UN. The Russian president will not directly negotiate with the Ukrainian president, calling instead for a competent government trusted by the people to be appointed before peace talks can get underway. Now, on the other side of this, the US has proposed a new draft deal, ramping up pressure on Ukraine to sign over near total control of minerals and energy. Officials in Kyiv have denounced the plans, calling them disgusting. Well, I'm joined on the line first by James Waterhouse, BBC Ukraine correspondent. James, good to have you with us this morning. Let's start with this speech that Vladimir Putin made, calling for an interim government to be appointed. And there were many in Ukraine, I'm sure, who would have predicted that this was going to be a precondition for him entering peace talks.
Absolutely. As far as Ukraine is concerned, nothing is changing when it comes to these peace negotiations. You had Vladimir Putin in the city of Murmansk, in Russia's Arctic Circle, where there was lots of discussion of improving economic ties with America, where there was no condemnation of America eyeing up its ownership of Greenland. And here you have Russia's leader once again suggesting that a interim government could be put in place, overseen by the United Nations, which he could then engage with directly in terms of ending this war. He has long wanted not just to take over Ukraine, but to have a direct stake in Ukrainian politics. And I think there's this sort of inertia now with these discussions, where you have America desperate to kind of conjure up headline after headline, trying to show that there is progress being made. You have America not condemning or threatening heightening actions with Russia as it continues to double down on its demands and refuses to bend to the proposals that are made. And you have Ukraine in the middle, forced to sort of mirror America's approach to this. And this will be concerning for Ukraine because, you know, where something has to give. And at the moment, it's Ukraine.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure there's a fear around how the Americans might respond to this. And we know Donald Trump has an awful lot riding on his promise to bring peace between Russia and Ukraine. And if Vladimir Putin insists on regime change before he'll move any distance, the Americans might just agree. After all, they've agreed with him on just about everything else to this point.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, you've got America, you know, sort of trying to impose its vision for it. It's trying to impose this updated mineral deal where it's now wanting all proceeds from Ukraine's natural minerals to go into this shared pot, where it will see its own debt paid off. Its debt, it sees its previous military aid as a debt. It will see further loans be slapped with a 4% interest rate, and they are still omitting the security guarantees that Ukraine wants. And so I think we are in a real danger now of entering a cycle where we will see respective delegates meet, thrash out a ceasefire agreement, agree to some proposals, then the Kremlin might slap some caveats on that, and then little to no progress can be made. I think it's we're in real danger of Russia protracting this process as it continues to wage its war. And I think this mineral proposal from America is a worrying catalyst where Ukraine could gradually be hollowed out by this whole process.
It's interesting to hear how Ukraine has responded to that proposal from the United States, because in the aftermath of the Oval Office debacle, they very much seemed to be compliant and they were saying a lot of thank yous and participating willingly in everything. There's real pushback, though, against this latest version of the minerals deal.
There is. I mean, you can sense Zelensky biting his lip, can't you? He has acknowledged. He said, look, America has produced a latest strong proposal on this mineral agreement. But in the same breath, he said that, you know, they are changing their tune very frequently. It is very hard, and this is based on, you know, trying to read President Zelensky before he headed out to America for that ill-fated Oval Office meeting. It's very hard to see him signing away just so much of his country's future wealth now. If you look at the direct control America would have on private and state companies, it's very hard to see Zelensky signing that away in the absence of any kind of military guarantee from America. And if that was to happen, it would all be on how America was to respond. But I do believe, looking at what, you know, what we've seen and heard from the White House, that increasingly it may not care whether Ukraine is independent, whether it is controlled by Russia or completely occupied by Russia, because we know the presence of American enterprises, business, commercial stakes, despite what the White House says, was not enough to curb Russian aggression in the past. And I think that's why we're seeing Putin maintain his stance.
James, thank you so much. James Waterhouse there in Ukraine. Let's get the view from the United States now with Harriet Alexander, senior US features reporter with The Times and The Sunday Times. So Harriet, this deal now that is on the table, minerals deal, which Ukraine has described as putting that country into a position where it would become a vassal state. They've described it also as disgusting. But it shows that Americans are really willing now to put the pressure on Ukraine to sign up to this.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, Donald Trump, of course, has made getting a deal to end the war a real priority of his presidency. I mean, he wants to be seen as the peacemaker. That's something that he's said repeatedly. Sources say he's angling for the Nobel Peace Prize. He feels that should rightfully be his. So he really wants to get this deal across the line. And yet at the same time, as James was saying, this deal is incredibly unpalatable in its current state, this draft to the Ukrainians. They really feel that it has gone too far, that there was, of course, this issue first raised by Ukraine of perhaps having some US involvement in mineral rights as some form of guarantee. But Trump has really taken that and run with it. And it now seems that they've pushed the Ukrainians into a corner. And I think it seems very unlikely that Zelensky will be able to agree to that in its current form.
Mm-hmm. Now, this coalition of the willing meeting that happened yesterday, I mean, the French have told us time and again that the United States is being kept fully in the loop. President Macron had a call with President Trump before that meeting began yesterday. What's your sense of how the United States views that coalition? Are they happy to let them at it? Because they've always wanted Europe to invest more in defence.
Right. So, I mean, absolutely, they want Europe to take more of a financial role in supporting Ukraine. That has long been an argument of Donald Trump and his allies, that it is not the US responsibility to keep pouring arms and financial aid into Ukraine. So, on the one hand, they are very happy that the Europeans are seeming to sort of get their act together and realize the urgency of that. And, you know, for all the criticism of Trump and his tactics and his, you know, the way that he goes about things, he certainly injected fresh urgency into the proceedings. And, you know, there's no denying that it has ground on for too long. So, you know, whatever your thoughts about Trump as a man, he's given real impetus, I think, to this process.
The Signal chat controversy is ongoing, I know. Is it, would you say, overshadowing proceedings in the White House? I mean, there is a sense that there is discontent now in the Republican Party, whether anyone will act in any way on that. But how big a deal is it now into, what is it, the third or fourth day after it broke?
Right. Yes, it's certainly dominating headlines still here, Claire. I mean, it's you know, the Ukraine conflict is obviously in everyone's minds, but it's been rumbling on for so long, whereas this has just been a bombshell after bombshell of a week. The latest is that Pam Bondi, the U.S. Attorney General, a very strong Trump supporter from Florida, she says that there will be no criminal investigation into this. And yet, as you say, that the drumbeat of calls for Mike Waltz, the National Security Advisor, and Pete Hegseth, the Defense Secretary, to go is mounting. I think it seems unlikely they will do so. Donald Trump is still attempting to downplay it. He backs them. He says that it was not classified information, although we've all seen the information, and if that's not classified, I don't know what is. So, you know, the row certainly continues, and the Democrats are calling for heads to roll.
Harriet, thank you so much. That's Harriet Alexander there joining us from The Telegraph. We're keeping an eye on what is happening in the aftermath of that earthquake, which was felt in Myanmar, but also in Bangkok. And the Thai Deputy Prime Minister has said now that 81 people are trapped after a Bangkok building collapsed following that earthquake. And we understand it was a building that was under construction when that 7.7 on the Richter scale earthquake was felt. And we'll bring you more on that a little bit later on. After the break, though, Brian O'Connell on whether it's a good idea to bring children to music festivals.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.